The market's going up. It went up 5 months in a row. It's now April. We've got jobs report tomorrow. Then we've got inflation data coming out. And then we go into earnings season. So there's only one of three ways the market can react to that news, up, down, or sideways. As it goes sideways, do you ask yourself, hey, am I going to buy more here? Do I have a clear exit? Are there good areas of support? Are there new stocks breaking out? Are there new setups?
You're listening to Last Week in the Market, the podcast for self-guided independent traders. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening in to the podcast. I'm Sean Vincent. I am the voice of Last Week in the Market. Soon, we'll be joined by Adam Sarhan. He is the brains behind Last Week in the Market. This podcast was developed for self-guided independent traders who are interested in or following or practicing Adam Sarhan's AMPD trading strategy. That's A-M-P-D. We'll talk a little bit today about how that strategy informs us when we're in the middle of a long rally. Things have gone sideways now for a couple weeks. That spells opportunity for AMP traders, but it also means that we need to get ourselves ready in case things start to go in the opposite direction. I feel like I'm always saying that now is an interesting time to be an AMP trader. Maybe it's always true, but now more than ever, it may be a good time to sign up for the findleadingstocks.com newsletter if you're not already a subscriber. Adam has lots of great ideas in that this week. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But before we get to all of that, remember that in the market, the past does not predict the future. No results are typical, and there is inherent risk when trading in the market. This podcast is for educational purposes and does not constitute financial advice. It's Thursday, April 4th, 2024, and here's what's happening this week in the market. On Tuesday, we saw some heavy selling that continued through to Wednesday morning, but by Wednesday afternoon, the buyers showed up. The support was defended. We're above the 21-day moving average on the QQQs. We're wondering how long is this sideways consolidation going to last, and are we ready for it to go up even higher? Are we prepared for it to go down?
Yeah, Sean, so it's Thursday morning now. You've got the jobs report coming out Friday morning. Of course, that's important. For now, like you said, support is being defended, but that could change. It could change by the close today, could change tomorrow, by tomorrow's close. So really, you're in the situation where the market is going sideways to consolidate the big run we just had. We're up 5 months in a row, which is extent. That's a lot. You typically don't rally for five straight months, but we did. So now what? We're going to have a six straight up month? That's possible. But you also have some seasonal stuff that comes into play where typically in election years and, you know, right before tax time, people sell stocks and then they buy it back after the tax time to free up some capital to pay the tax. You typically, after five straight months, you see a pullback. And that's what, instead of, there's two ways the market can pull back or consolidate after a big move up. One, it goes sideways, which is what it's doing. Second is it goes down. The sideways consolidation, Sean, is the more bullish of the two scenarios. And that's what's happening right now. So we could break support, and that's very possible. We could go down and have a down month. That is possible. It's going to happen again. I don't know what month will be down, but we will have down months in the future. It's normal.
Right. We don't like to predict the future, but we can say with some certainty that it's the market's not going to be flying high above the 21-day moving average forever.
Correct. 100%. And you're in a situation where you've got to really ask yourself two things. One is, am I properly invested? If not, where should I be invested? If this pullback is a viable pullback, then, oh, by the way, I should get long. Okay, great. Where are you going to enter? Where are you going to exit? How much you risk if you're wrong?
Sure. When you say pullback, you mean like this sideways consolidation. If this sideways consolidation is healthy and we anticipate going up again, should we get into some new positions?
Yeah, correct. Thank you for clarifying that. I mean, pull back into the 50-day moving average or the 21-day moving average. Yeah, it's a sideways but short-term, it's a little bit of a pullback. So semantics aside, you're absolutely right, Sean. So as it goes sideways, do you ask yourself, hey, am I going to buy more here? Do I have a clear exit? Are there good areas of support? Are there new stocks breaking out? Are there new setups? You know, yeah, the answer is yes to all those things. So is the market acting healthy? Are we seeing areas break down and getting crushed, or, you know, under the surface? Are things changing? Those are some factors that need to be considered when the market goes sideways, because if we do break out and go higher, which is what I believe is ultimately going to happen here,
Yeah.
You want to ask yourself, hey, am I involved? Should I get involved? Should I not get involved? Am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? You know, so on and so forth. So
sure.
Taking stock of where you are, pardon the pun there, is really, really important, because you're in a situation where you can go out there and really focus on a few things. One, making sure you're properly capitalized when the market does pause, take a breather, because if the next move is up, then great, we're going to go higher. If the next move is down, then you can get out and risk a small amount. Maybe you don't buy today. Maybe you buy next week. Maybe you buy after the jobs report. You know, maybe you wait.
Yeah.
But the point is that you're in a situation where you can focus on positioning yourself in an ongoing trend. So if we're in an uptrend in bull markets, which we're in now, surprises happen to the upside, not the downside, typically.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's an important thing to keep.
Not guaranteed, but if you're going to, like you say all the time, the stocks are going to go up, they're going to go down, they're going to go sideways. So while it's going sideways, it's going to start moving again. And we look at the broader market conditions, the M, the buyers keep showing up. It's shown itself to be bullish over and over again. And we're going to tend to lean towards it's still got some bullish action left in it, knowing that we could be wrong.
Correct.
We've used the analogy of a speeding train before to talk about a bull market.
Yes.
And that it's one of the challenges for an amp trader getting onto a speeding train is that things move up very quickly. And the faster things move up, the more prone it might be to a pullback or a correction. And if you're looking to get into something and then have it protect a stop that's 5-7% under your entry point, and it's just moved up real fast, it could move down real fast and knock you right out.
Correct.
And it's sort of like trying to run and catch on to a speeding train. And then we've seen for the last few weeks, the sideways consolidation, things are moving sideways. That's almost like the train stopping at a station. It's a chance for you to get on board some things that were just too hot to get on board before,
right,
if you believe in them and you want to take that chance. And one thing that I've learned as I've been working this system and learning from you, Adam, is when I look for, when I see five ideas that I like, but I only have the capital to go into one position,
right,
sometimes, or at least in the way I want to.
Right.
Sometimes what I'll look at is the distance between where I'm entering and where the support's been defended before. Right.
Nice.
And I like to put my stop in underneath that. And what I've found, and for a long time in this rally, I've really been uncomfortable with, one, how high above the 21-day moving average a lot of stocks were,
right?
Because that's the first level of support. And then how high the 21-day moving average was beyond the 50-day moving average, right?
Yep.
And what I've been able to see in the last few weeks is the 50-day is catching up now with the 21-day.
Yes.
And there's lots of big movers out there that are taking a moment. They're pausing. The 50-day is catching up. And there's opportunities for stocks that have barely dipped ever below the 21-day moving average in the last months to get in on those and to have a stop that even 2% is still under the 50-day moving average. So you've got two levels of support between you and stopping out with a very low risk of entry, a tight stop. And my philosophy has been, I also believe it's going to pick up and move again. And so this is an opportunity for me to get in with some real tight stops instead of just sitting on cash and maybe watching the whole market take off without my money invested.
Agreed. 100%. So when you're in a situation where you've got, you like you, for you, for example, I don't know your portfolio specifically, but you want to buy something and you're pretty much fully invested. You might have room for one or two more ideas, but you can't go buy five or six things because you're pretty much invested. So what do you do?
Right.
You know, that's a big thing. So there's add-on buys. There's the use of margin if and when appropriate. I don't suggest normal, you know, everybody uses margin. Make money with the money you have. Don't go borrow more money to make money. That, you know, if you're crushing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of not getting into debt.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's bad risk management.
100%. So my thought process is just really important. There's two things. There's capital preservation and then there's capital appreciation. And what you want to focus on is the preservation of the capital first. Because if you can't preserve your capital, it's going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to have it appreciate. So most people focus on the appreciation side of it. Hey, I've got a dollar. I want to get to $10. Okay, great. But if you don't protect that dollar, meaning keep your losses small, and you let those losses run really big, and you don't respect risk, that dollar can become zero or become 50 cents or become a quarter real fast. And if that does happen, for you, the chances of you getting to 10 are going to be that much more difficult, because the way the math works, right? You buy something, it goes down 50%, it's got to go up 100% to get back to even. So understanding just basic math, I mean, this is elementary school math, maybe middle school math, maybe, you know, it's really, really important to put yourself, it's reduce unforced errors, put yourself in a position to win. So I love tennis. It's one of the sports that I actually enjoy. I'm not a sports guy, but that's one of my sports. And the big thing in tennis, I teach my kids this all the time, it's just reduce your unforced errors. Most people get there and they just want to smack the ball as hard as they can. In any sport, really, you want to reduce your unforced, anything at all, in war, in sports, in business, just reduce the amount of times you're going to make, let me use a nice word here, not smart decisions.
Foolish. We use foolish.
There we go. I like that one. Yeah, it was going in a much worse direction. But yeah, foolish decisions. Thank you, Sean. So it's really important to make smart decisions. That's the goal. And if you can reduce the foolish decisions you're going to make in the market with your money, by definition, you're going to be way ahead of the pack, because most people don't even understand what we're talking about here. So that's one. And then two, if you can focus on the capital preservation, then you can focus on the appreciation, where it's like, oh, okay, hold on a second here. This capital is growing now. That's good. Well, that should be happening. Some people are in disbelief. Right. Oh my God, I can't believe I made a dollar in the market, or whatever the case is, right? Well, the market's there to make you money. It's not there to do anything else. It's an abundant environment. And over time, the market goes up significantly, and it's there to make people money. I mean, it's not there to do anything nefarious, and it's not there to do anything bad or harm you. If it was, it wouldn't exist. So you can, now that said, you can go in there and do foolish things. Thank you for that word too, by the way, Sean. And lose money, and lose a lot of money. And that happens all the time. All day, every day, people go in there and do foolish things and lose money. But the idea is that on an aggregate, it's there to make you money. So understanding that's really, really important. And then positioning yourself accordingly and kind of getting out of your own way is really important too. So the market's going up. It went up 5 months in a row. It's now April. We've got jobs report tomorrow. Then we've got inflation data coming out. And then we go into earnings season. So there's only one of three ways the market can react to that news, up, down, or sideways, and protect yourself.
From all and it's three been going sideways. So, and you talked about the peculiarities of my portfolio. I stopped out of a couple big winners for me a couple of weeks ago, about 25% of my capital freed up, right?
Yeah.
Had a good run with them. Like you say, I captured the bulk of the move. Yeah. One of them went back up slightly, but has a strong resistance. I'm not sad I'm out of it. It was kind of extended the other way. The other ones continued to go down, and I got the best out of that one for sure. I feel great about it. And like we've talked about, I've got that into some other positions that I thought I could get into now while we're in a sideways motion with a very tight stop. But you said prepare yourself for going up and going down and going sideways. We talked about how we have a sense it's going to go up, and we've capitalized and proportioned our investments right, and we're going to hold on for that ride. There's a chance that this resistance that we've been hitting for this last few weeks could be the top of the run for now.
Yeah,
that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And so I just want to psychologically prepare our listeners for what that means is if it does go down, then we're going to start stopping out of some positions that some of us have had since November, since this rally started, or longer, and there's this bittersweet moment where you're like, "Oh, that's it. My delightful ride on Wingstop is over. Right. It was fun while it lasted, right?" And maybe it'll go up again, and I don't know. It's something you told me really importantly. Like, it was, would you buy it now?
Yeah,
you know, would you buy more of it now? Like, if it was a fresh position, would you buy it now? And you know, it's extended and it's reaching its ceiling. And no, I'm glad to be out. And that if things turn around, I've got such great winners in there that I'm going to give up a little of my unrealized gains, which I never think of as a real number until I realize them, right? But then all said and done, we talked about this the other week, already an extraordinary year.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and so like, if it lets go, then I know, and it's with your help and mentorship, Adam, that I feel this way, that, that converting in to cash when the ride's over, is it working? And you told me not long ago when you did career day with your kids, you talked to them about compounding, right? And it's the eighth wonder of the world.
Yes.
And I tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, though. But I don't know. If you just get into a stock and it goes up and down, you know, let's say Coca-Cola for decades, and on any given day, it's like 6% above where it was in 2008 or whatever, right?
Right.
That money's not compounded for you. It's gone up and down, and you've made 8% over 20 years, which is not very good at all.
Yeah.
You have to sell high, get out of those positions, and then reinvest that capital in new ideas in order to compound that money in the market.
Yeah.
And without stopping out at the end of a run, you can't compound.
Correct. So,
right. And so real work gets done when the ride's over and you collect cash and wait for the next opportunity.
Yeah. That's a really good point, Sean. So what we're talking about is that when the ride is over, right? So,
yeah.
Not every major stock in history has big up moves and big down moves. You know, I showed the kids Chipotle in school when I did the career day presentation, and the stock went from 60 to 3,000. Now, I just happen to know the kids love Chipotle in there because I wanted to give them something that they can, you know, a reference point that they like. But during that,
they can literally sink their teeth into.
Something they can, and I like the fun there, something they can sink their teeth into. Right. So it came public, Chipotle, CMG is a ticker, in 2006, around $40, right around there. Okay, great. By 2008, because the crisis, you went down to 36, and then you're now you're near 2,900, almost 3,000. So I showed them the power of compounding. But along the way, you know, you went down massively. In 2007, Chipotle was at 155 and went all the way down to 36. That's a huge decline. Then it rallied from 36 all the way up to 442. And then that was in what, 2012? And then by the end of 2012, you're down to 233. That's a huge haircut from 442 to 233. And then it shoots up and it goes to 741 or 757, somewhere in that range by 2015-ish. And then it goes all the way down to 247 in 2018. That's a huge decline from about 757 down to 250, just around numbers. That's a big, huge decline. Now, it did rally back, but most of the time, these things don't have these monster big moves back up. You know, I could show you stocks in the 2000s that are trading near their same levels now that had, like, Intel, for example, INTC, a stock in 1999, March of 2000, when the stock market had the bubble, the dot-com bubble, Intel hit a high just around $75. Right now you're at 40. And that's what, 24 years later? So not some of them go higher, of course, but that's just an example of sometimes, you know, that's dead money for 24 years. When the stock market had huge moves, other areas like AI didn't even exist back then, had huge moves. Wingstop. I don't even think Wingstop was trading back then, Sean. Let me check. Yeah, Wingstop started trading in 2015. Chipotle wasn't trading back then. Google wasn't even trading back then. Google started trading in 2004. So you would have missed all of those ideas, all of those massive winners, if you would just hold on forever.
Stuck
in
one spot, right? Or, and then if you look back across the course of, let's say, even Chipotle, there's lots of places, there's lots of clear places, if you know how to read the charts, right, where you see there's an entry point. There was an advanced entry point. There was a breakout, another entry point. But then if you manage your stops properly, you see other spots, you're like, oh, I would have stopped out there.
Yes.
Oh, but then another few months later, there's another entry point.
Yes.
And then you would have gotten in and you would have, like you say, get the bulk of the move up, get out of the way for the retraction and get back in, and you have the opportunity to profit on each one of those if you're managing your strategy correctly.
100%.
All that to say is stopping out at the end of a run is great. it's how you turn those unrealized losses or unrealized gains into actual realized gains and actually have that capital to put into new ideas for the next ride, which you will catch with more confidence the more times that you go through one of these things.
100%. And it's experience too. It's a function of time. I mean, you'll get your fair share of losses along the way, but there will be your fair share of gains. And if we do that example that we did earlier, where, you know, out of 10 trades, you lose one 9 times, you're minus nine. The 10th trade, you win 10, you're plus one, even though you lost 90% of the time. The other trader has 10 trades. They win 9 times in a row, but they only win one. And the 10th trade, they lose 10. They're minus one.
Yeah.
So it's really important to, even though they had a 90% win rate, it's really important to focus on what matters. It's risk, reward, focus on what you can control. You can't control how much a stock goes up. You can't control where you enter. You can't control how much it goes down on you. Unless if you have a massive gap that's unheard of, but yeah, that's so rare. Right,
yeah.
So, you know, if you can focus on keeping those losses small, you're pulling the weeds out of a garden. You're letting the flowers bloom and blossom, and that's letting the winners run. And over time, that's a winning formula.
All right, everybody, that's the podcast for today. Thanks for listening through to the end. Hey, I was picking on Coca-Cola a little bit earlier, but the truth is, if you got in there in 2008 for somewhere between $13 and $19, well, it's worth almost $60 today. We'll be back next week with more. Until then, as Adam always says, keep your losses small and let your winners fly.
Put yourself in a position to win.